Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soucy.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on X, at Matthew Soucy. The show is available on iTunes and, like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, available on Spotify. So, friends, I appreciate everyone's patience over the lack of show last week. It was a fun week last week, I should tell you that. The Soucy family, we know how to plan family vacations. And the reason why we didn't have a show last week was because most of the week, Mrs. Soucy and I were out of town, out of state. Not out of mind, but we were up in Flint, Michigan, attending the Kennedy Center American College Theater Festival that was being hosted by the University of Michigan, Flint. Flint, of course, is where I was born and raised. That's right, friends. Yep. Grand Funk, Michael Moore, and me, in that order, maybe. But it's because my wife was doing a couple of workshops, and she had some students that were up for scholarship auditions. And then our kid M, who is a senior at Loyola Chicago, with some of their friends from classmates from Chicago, took the train in. So the three of us had a fun, weird vacation in my hometown. I got to have dinner with my father and stepmother a couple of times. And the other weird thing that the sidetrack with this was the very first ACTF, because I think back then in the 90s, they didn't have the Kennedy Center label on it, although it was. I attended my first ACTF festival as a student when I was a junior at the Ball State University, and we brought our three-hour Holocaust drama Ghetto to Southern Illinois University in Carbondale. And man, and fortunately for the weekend, we went first. We were the very first production seen at the festival, and thank God we did, because we brought a truck to load our set. Unload like it was a rock band, and then we had the rest of the weekend to, well, let's just say it was a blur. I do remember seeing some folks from the University of Michigan, Flint. I do remember that much, but yeah, that was a very long weekend, and I had not really been back since. My wife, there's been a few times where the University of Indianapolis hosted Region 3, and I went maybe for like an afternoon, but not for a full weekend like this. So it was, and the fact that it was in the town where I grew up, I got to revisit downtown a little bit. There's still a couple of places from my youth that are still open. We got to see a couple of shows in the Capitol Theater, which is still there. This was the place that my dad would take me to see kung fu movies and exploitation films. We weren't using the term grindhouse back then, at least not in Flint, but that was one of the theaters that was showing those films as a kid. This is also where I wound up seeing Ice-T and Body Count twice in the span of a year. If I remember right, Christmas break junior year, Christmas break senior year. So, but yeah, the old Capitol Theater is still there. The other connection was the fact that it was done at the University of Michigan, Flint. My kid got to direct a 10-minute student-written play. And this event, the reading of the plays, were done in the same theater that my father would take me to go see movies on campus. This was where I saw King of Hearts. This was where I saw Animal Crackers. It's where I saw Horse Feathers. This was the campus theater where, as a teenager, they actually hosted the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And this was the first time I had seen a theater that handed you a goodie bag of props to throw. Because prior to this, There was a four-screen theater in Flint that hosted the Rocky Horror Picture Show. I remember attending it, and the audience, not me, of course, but the audience trashed the theater. I mean, they brought things that had nothing to do with the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Raw eggs were tossed. I witnessed water Uzis filled with chocolate syrup. I wonder what those people are up to now. And it was because of that event that it set a precedent for theaters in Flint that if you hosted Rocky Horror, you would get a little bag with strips of newspaper and a little bag of rice. And that was really about it. I mean, there were a couple other miscellaneous things. I'm trying to remember if they gave you a squirt gun. Probably not. But yeah, so there were a lot of old memories kind of flooded back, especially in my younger days as a film goer. So I am forever grateful for my dad to take me to these movies, because, you know, that was before art houses. Well, for you younger listeners out there, before there were art house theaters, you showed old movies and cult films on college campuses. There was a film society, a film club of some kind. And yeah, so the fact that I got to revisit the space and my kid is involved really, really kind of hit home and hit me in a sweet spot. So, and it's the Roger and Me City, so there was that. Downtown's got a long way to go. It's been nice. There's a tequila bar in downtown Flint. I never thought that would happen. So, and there are still concerts happening at the Capitol Theater. So we will just have to see. And the fact that the three of us were staying under one roof, and there was a moment where we were kind of winding down. It was very cold up in Michigan, and we flip on the TV, and The Fighter was on, which is a favorite of M and mine that we could quote quite a bit. And there's also, I got to tell the story, the first time I had Netta Ulaby on this show from NPR, and I need to get her back on. I've not forgotten you, dear. And I made the crack that I think all New England barmaids should look like Amy Adams. And Netta immediately shot back, "Why limit yourself to New England?" So anyway, it was fun to watch that with my kid. And then our last evening after dinner and after the show, we came back home because M had to be back on the train early, early Sunday morning. But The Godfather was on. And this was a film I had tried to show my kid twice. And I had even pulled the stunt of, I want to watch The Godfather on Father's Day as a family. And both times I tried that stunt, my kid fell asleep. Like 10 minutes into the wedding, which is the opening scene. So some things never changed. But we got through it, and they weren't paying attention. So they lasted longer. They just really weren't paying much attention. And I just point out that these are actors in their younger days. Okay, there are three films that open in theaters this week, and then we'll go around the horn, and then we'll grab a pencil and pay tribute to a few artists that passed away. One of the films opening this week is the film called Origin from Ava DuVernay. And this is a very ambitious project about a writer who is initially asked to write just about the Trayvon Martin case, but decides to go even deeper and link the modern racism in today's society along with Nazi Germany and the early 20th century happening in India. And how the final solutions from Nazi Germany might have been, and how that might have been the inspiration from inspired by the Jim Crow South. This is an ambitious project. The fact that we're doing a dive into links to racism in history, and depending on how you're feeling, it's a well done film, and I love the connections of the three. There's also times where it feels like a lecture, and there's also some borderline melodramatic moments about what piece do you write and who is paying attention. And so anyway, it's an ambitious project. Like I said, I'm still a fan of Selma and the 13. And this one, as far as going more than just the recent headlines and why and how things change and the more they stay the same. So Origin is opening this week, as well as a film that I was kind of excited to see, and it turned out to be a little bit of a disappointment, called Freud's Last Session. This is the one with Anthony Hopkins and Matthew Good, as Hopkins plays Freud, Good plays C.S. Lewis, and this is an event that they're saying it basically did not happen, but I kept getting flashbacks of the two popes, which was Anthony Hopkins and Jonathan Pryce. This is mainly a two-person show, And while Hopkins and Good seem to be having a nice time with each other and their characters exploring their own personalities, their own beliefs, and then how they bounce up against each other, I would love to have seen a National Theater live performance with just these two doing this. It's a little dry, and I guess the more you know about Freud and Lewis, and yeah, I've only glanced at some of C.S. Lewis's stuff. Don't come at me. The more you'll probably get more out of this than I did. To borrow a term from my kid, it's men in suits talking. It's just done. It just happens to be done very well by Anthony Hopkins and Matthew Good. So, yeah. There you go. So, and then I needed to cleanse my palate, and I found this is a film that screams a January release, the thriller ISS, and this stars Ariana DeBose and Chris Messina, and it's the connecting International Space Station between American astronauts and Russian cosmonauts. All is well in the capsule, but what happens when you're out in space and your countries go to war? And that's what starts the kicks in with this film. Could have been 80 minutes. You could have even made it slightly sillier and make it a pizza and beer movie. I think it wants to be a serious sci-fi thriller, and I think it could have been a little goofier. This is from the director that gave us Blackfish and Megan Levy. I do like Blackfish, and you should check that out as well. And this one almost satisfies. There is a plot twist that if you're paying attention, you can see it coming a mile away. But as far as cleansing your palate of the very important Oscar bait films, ISS is a pretty good choice. And that is also opening in theaters this week. You're listening to the Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Last week, since I wasn't here, I want to mention my guys over at Golan Globus Theater. Last week, well, January is Misunderstood Genius Month for them. They talked about Glenn Danzig a couple weeks ago. Last week's show was the John S. Rad film Dangerous Men. This week, a film directed by and starring Michael Flatley. Flatley, yes, Lord of the Dance, called Blackbird, a spy drama called Blackbird that never got released in the U.S. So that's happening over at Golan Globus Theaters. Okay, over at IU Cinema on Friday. Oh, sold out, The Boy and the Heron, which it's good. I started to lose. I started to get lost in the story the last third of the film. And I think this is a film that's going to get a lot of, obviously already has, award-wise in the animation department. So, but yeah, that sold out. But tonight, 10 o'clock, Friday, January 19th, Roadhouse, a new 4K restoration of Roadhouse at IU Cinema. There you go. Saturday, January 20th at 4 p.m. from 1931, Transatlantic. And then Boy and the Heron sold out on the 20th. Good for you. Tuesday, January 23rd at 7 o'clock, Voyeurism in Cinema from 1974, The Conversation. Thursday, January 25th at 7 p.m., The Royal Tenenbaums from 2001. Friday, January 26th, The Royal Hotel from 2023 at 7 p.m. Friday, January 26th at 10 p.m. is a part of their not-quite-midnight series, Ravenous. That's one I need to check out again. It's been I don't think I saw that. I have not seen that since that film opened, if I remember right. And then Saturday, January 27th at 4 p.m. from 1963, Hood. And then Saturday, January 27th at 7 p.m., The Royal Hotel. All of that is happening at IU Cinema. Over at the Artcraft Theater in Franklin, because next week the tour of To Kill a Mockingbird is coming to Clues Memorial Hall, and I will be hosting the post-performance production, or discussion, I should say, next Thursday. So the Artcraft Theater in Franklin, tonight and tomorrow, 2 and 7:30 p.m., the 1962 film version of To Kill a Mockingbird. So there you go. Friday and Saturday, January 26th and 27th, 2 and 7:30 p.m., The Wrath of Khan, Star Trek II, over at the Historic Artcraft Theater in Franklin. Okay, actually, before we grab a pencil, I do want to pay tribute to a few folks that have passed away. Academy Award-nominated actress Marissa Pavan passed away. She was a supporting actress nominee for The Rose Tattoo back in 1955, playing Rosa Dela Rose. Other credits include Diane, The Midnight Story, John Paul Jones, Solomon and Sheba from 1959, did a lot of TV in the 50s and 60s, A Slightly Pregnant Man from 1973. And there you go. So there is that. Also, David Soul. So, yes, best known for Ken Hutch Hutchinson on Starsky and Hutch. And did a lot of theater in London, was living there for a while. Credits go all the way back to the mid-60s. And films like, appeared in shows like Dan August, The Young Rebels, Star Trek, Flipper. I forgot he played Swede in the 1971 film version of Johnny Got His Gun. But the thing he's probably in the cult world was Officer Davis, one of the three young vigilante police officers in the second Dirty Harry film, Magnum Force. Of course, like I said, did a lot of TV. Did four seasons of Starsky and Hutch. Did Dog Pound Shuffle in 1979. Yes, he had a number one hit with Don't Give Up on Us. And then in 1983, had the dubious honor of playing Rick Blaine in a television series attempt of Casablanca, which lasted 5 episodes. Scatman Crothers was in it, as was Hector Elizondo and a young Ray Liotta. And the last thing I remember seeing Soul in, it was 1987's The Hanoi Hilton. But he was constantly working ever since, whether it was television or movies or in doing theater in London. And yeah, he had the cameo in the film version of Starsky and Hutch. And then, for guys of a certain age, Cindy Morgan. Lacey Underall from Caddyshack. So between that and then playing Laura Yori in 1982's Tron, so she became a dream girl for the slob comedy guys and the sci-fi fantasy guys. And from what I had heard, was an absolute sweetheart on the festival circuit dealing with giddy young boys that had turned into giddy old men. And, well, here's a little audio tribute. You'll know, well, guys of a certain age will know why.
So, what brings you to this nape of the woods, neck of the wave? How come you're here?
Daddy wanted to broaden me.
In this place? Good luck.
What do you do for excitement?
Oh, I play a lot of golf.
Golf? Nixon plays golf. I bet you got a lot of interesting stories about your ball landing in the room.
So what do you do?
I enjoy skinny skiing, going to bullfights on acid. I bet you got a lot of nice ties.
What do you mean?
You want to tie me up with some of your ties, Ty?
I've got a good idea.
What?
Let's pretend real human beings.
Yeah. Thank you, Cindy Morgan. Salute. I should also mention, she did a lot of TV throughout the 80s and the 90s. And last credit was from 2022, Face of the Family. But no, Cindy Morgan, you live on in the hearts and minds of a lot of guys. So thank you for that. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Okay, grab a pencil. Let's find out what you've been watching. Hopefully you got to watch some films that are good films that are new or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. But before that, I should just pick up the legal pad that's in front of me. From Kino Lorber, there is and I'm trying to catch up on the never-ending pile, but this one was a bit of a task, but it was fun to revisit. From Kino Lorber, there is a 2 Blu-ray set of four films of the François Truffaut collection. These are four films of Truffaut's from the 1970s. The Wild Child, Small Change, you hear the page, The Man Who Loved Women, and The Green Room. And of the four films, the two best are on disc one, 1970's The Wild Child and 1976's Small Change. The Wild Child, shot in black and white, is set in 1780s, where a child who's been raised in the woods by itself, or maybe raised by animals, and is finally discovered and studied, and they've determined he's about age 11 or 12, and is sent to Paris under the supervision of a doctor played by François Truffaut. And it's one of these things as far as not much of change as far as the treatment of patients in hospitals. I think that's one of the things Truffaut was going for. And if you're a fan of films like Greystoke, The Legend of Tarzan, and Nell, this is probably a film parent of those. Lots of camera fades in like it's the silent era. And I guess, the film asks, how does one handle misjustice? How does one handle rebellion? So it's a fascinating experiment, but it's also a human being. So it's that fine line on it's a subject matter and it's a person. Where does one draw the line? So that's from 1970. And 1976 is Small Change. That's, I think, the first Truffaut film my kid actually got to sit and watch. In fact, I think they still might have my copy. But Small Change is a film that covers the ups and downs of children in a small town in France. I believe it's Thiers, France. We have a new boy that enters the class, and he's got a bit of a secret hiding, some secrets that he has to hide from where he lives and what he's been up to. The fact that as I'm watching this, as you watch this, is it feels like a documentary, but it isn't. And the fact that these are not Hollywood kids, these are just regular French kids, and it's not the Up series, the great Michael Apted documentary series, but it's almost like a fictional version of that. Just kids being kids, no Hollywood shenanigans, just kind of going through the motion. I shouldn't say going through the motion, but going through life, the ups and downs of school, the ups and downs at home, being attracted to girls. What happens when a classmate has an infatuation with his classmate's mother? Liking one girl who doesn't notice him, but another girl who does like him and he doesn't notice. So just there's some great natural moments following these guys for about an hour and a half. Really, really well done. I think this is one of Truffaut's better films. And I was doing a little bit of research on this, and this was Roger Ebert's top film of 1976. And then later he said one of his regrets was he didn't make his number two his number one. His number two, behind Small Change, was Taxi Driver. So anyway, but it still holds up. But yeah, if you want to see actual kids, and it's a fictional film, check out Small Change from 1976, and then the other two films a little less, but the third film in this group. From 1977, The Man Who Loved Women, and it's in this case a writer who is writing a memoir about the women in his life and how each female has a different impact on him and the ladies have a different impact being with him. Obviously very episodic. There is a female publisher who winds up defending his book and actually becoming one in his group. This is a film I have seen the remake of this. This was done in 1983 with Burt Reynolds, Julie Andrews, who plays his psychiatrist and not a publisher. And it was directed by, and I believe adapted, by Blake Edwards. And this one is much more subdued than the remake. It is also episodic. You get to see Reynolds in shenanigans with the likes of Mary Lou Henner and a young Kim Basinger, as well as Andrews herself. But this is one of those where I've seen the remake way more than the original. Blow Up and Blowout is another example of that, and I think Blowout's a superior film. This one, again, it's a little more subdued, not as silly, and he's not as good-looking an actor as Reynolds, but the way he is able to interact with women. I could see how this would influence a young lad watching this. This and I always remember In Praise of Older Women with Tom Berenger, which I believe came out a year after this. So just another one that needs getting used to, I guess, because I have a soft spot for the original, or the remake, I should say. And then finally, from 1978, The Green Room, in which Truffaut plays a gentleman obsessed with not death, but the respect for the dead. He is a widower, who puts his wife's belongings in one green room, the title of the film. And when a fire destroys his room, he is able to save some photos but make a new shrine. He has a secretary with him that's helping things out. And, you know, a lesser film would have indicated that this is going to be the next woman in his life. He also finds out that a former friend was close to his wife. But it talks about the impact of the dead and how much of an impact people have long after they're gone. And this is another one that's a little more subdued, and it's a decent enough film, but not as strong, I guess, compared to the other Truffaut films on disc one. But you can pick up the François Truffaut collection. Four films on two discs from Kino Lorber. All right, now we'll grab a pencil and find out what you've been watching. So hopefully you got to watch some good films that are new, or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. We start on Facebook with Dakota, who writes, Blazing Saddles and Jackass 2. I watched all three Godfathers last week, so I decided I needed dumb humor to even things out. Yeah, that was the... I think if you saw that on television, because that was when we were watching The Godfather, at least the first one, in our chilly little hotel room outside of Grand Blanc. Jamie writes, Leo, Romeo and Juliet, Sherlock Gnomes, Bedknobs and Broomsticks, Pete's Dragon, Shrek, Shrek 2 and Shrek the Third, and Forever After, The Muppets, The Little Rascals, and Jungle Cruise. Eric writes, Jack Absolute flies again. Judy writes, The Little Prince from 1974. Had never seen it. Interesting is best I could say. My mom loved Richard Kiley. And Belfast. Had never seen that either. This was a beautiful film for many reasons. Great soundtrack, too. Aaron writes, Baby Driver. Craig writes, Judgment at Nuremberg, The Original Jazz Singer, The Kid Brother from 1927, and just finished Blue Murder at St. Trinian's. Nancy writes, Killers of the Flower Moon, loved it. Austin, a medium cool podcast, and you can hear me on there with Joe Shearer yammering about our films of the year. But anyway, Austin writes, Kiki's Delivery Service, My Neighbor Totoro, and the musical version of Mean Girls. Ron writes, Chinatown and The Sting, both completely hold up. Taylor writes, Barbie, John Wick 1 and 2. The Name of the Rose, Singing in the Rain, and The Tale of Zatoichi. David writes, Killers of the Flower Moon, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, The Holdovers, and Napoleon Dynamite. Molly writes, Hot Tub Time Machine plus Bruce and Evan Almighty. Jed writes, Jed writes, Watched Grandma's Boy for the first time in a while, still hilarious as ever. Don writes, Hitler's Daughter, which he called a white elephant gift exchange find on VHS. Linda writes, The Ugly Dachshund, Oppenheimer, Saltburn, and Role Play. Kristen writes, Terminator and the original Planet of the Apes. My 11-year-old made fun of the sound effects in both. Well, that was just how they had effects back then. Helen writes Ocean's 11, the Soderbergh one, and Air. Abby writes, we watched Sideways. Andy had never seen it. The Holdovers, Good Grief, and some embarrassing movies not to divulge here. No, you have to divulge here. You can't do that, Abby. Don't do that anymore. You have to fess up. So I'm hoping, Abby, that you hear this, and next week, give us the embarrassing movies that need to be divulged on Film Sociology on my Facebook page. All right? David writes, Constantine, Fargo, and Mr. Sardonicus. David writes, I had a busy weekend. The Holdovers, Bottoms, The Creator, Pneumonia, Coffee and Cigarettes, Leave the World Behind, Asteroid City, and Fantastic Planet. Yeah, I remember Fantastic Planet on Channel 100, that wonderful, weird, grown-up animated era of the 1970s. Amanda writes, Death and Other Details. They went to the library as well. Still of the Night, Coming Home, Since You Went Away, Bridge of Spies, Good Grief, and Silkwood. Eric writes, his first views are Saltburn, Reality, An Act of Violence, and 1930s Hell's Angels with crazy, amazing stunts, directed by Howard Hughes, and Gene Harlow, directed by James Whale. His rewatch was Sideways. Phil writes Flybread, Face, and Me, as well as American Symphony. Jessica writes The Pope's Exorcist, surprisingly good. Candyland, Saltburn, Found Footage 3D, Barbie, and Husera the Bone Woman. Beverly writes The Society of Snow. Josh writes Unthinkable. Hey, Josh. Doug writes Waxworks, Platinum Blonde, Lady for a Day, The Awful Truth, The Lady Vanishes, Topaz, The Color Purple, American Fiction. Oh, both versions of The Color Purple. American Fiction, Society of the Snow, 20 Days in the Mirrorpool, and Wonka. JJ writes Society of the Snow, Empire Strikes Back, Swing Time, and Past Lives. I loved this movie and have been thinking about it ever since. Brilliant performances. Wish I had seen it earlier. Better late than never, JJ. It's all right. Dustin writes Fathead, Wonka, and Mean Girls, the latest. D writes Lassie Christmas specials with John Provost, Roddy McDowall, and June Lockhart. Joan writes A Good Grief and deemed it fabulous. Cassandra writes Leave the World Behind, The Adam Project, Red, and Red 2. Matt writes ISS, not bad sci-fi, agreed. The Wages of Fear, incredible, agreed. Self-Reliance, solid directorial debut from Jake Johnson, as well as the beautiful Chung King Express. Devin writes Mean Girls, new one. Jeff writes Oppenheimer. Mike writes The Adventures of Robin Hood and Shadowlands. Teresa writes Mystic Pizza, Valley Girl, Pretty in Pink, and The Holiday. Gary writes, we need to talk about Kevin and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from 2014. Tell me that was a double feature, Gary. Frank writes, I love The Commitments. Watch it yearly. I tried to as well. That was the cover photo I did for, actually the photo I did for the post on Facebook. Brian Hartz, hope to see you soon, buddy. Introduced Monica to Heat, the Michael Mann film. She was intrigued when I mentioned to her that it was a huge influence on The Dark Knight, so throughout the movie she could occasionally go, oh. There's even an extra feature within Christopher Nolan fawns all over Michael Mann and the whole cast and crew at a post-screening panel. It's kind of cute to watch him geeking out over his heroes. Nice stuff there. Daniel writes, The Four Musketeers, Great Expectations, Anatomy of a Fall, My Reputation, The Big Caper, It's a Wonderful Life, Clueless, Sparkling Cyanide, Now Voyager, and A Matter of Life and Death. Michael writes The Beast with 1 Million Eyes, The Spy Who Came in from the Cold, The Equalizer 3, Whistle Stop, A Bridge Too Far, The Battle of the Bulge, The Longest Day, and Saving Private Ryan. Those last 1, 2, 3, 4 war films pretty much cast half the Screen Actors Guild, at least in the male department. Christy writes The Color Purple, the original, Going to Mars, The Trust, Jurassic Park, Lost World Jurassic Park, and Jurassic Park 3. Christina writes, not a film, but I'm watching the French series Astrid and loving it. Sarah Mortensen's portrayal of a woman with autism is perfection. Megan writes, Genie, so good. Steven writes, At home, William Wellman's Safe in Hell, and in a theater, All of Us Strangers. Yeah, I did like All of Us Strangers. Of course, I liked the director who gave, this is a writer and director who gave us 45 years, but also a well-done film right there. Tracy Foreigner writes, every Daniel Craig Bond movie plus Barbershop 2. That'll cleanse your palate. Kevin writes, The Holdovers and Oppenheimer. Amitha writes, Ricochet and Possessor. Denise writes, not a film, but I've been totally binging Northern Exposure. Thanks for the head up. Yeah, the Northern Exposure is now available streaming, but I'm puffing my chest because we have every season on DVD and can watch it anytime we want. Enjoy this while you can, friends. I don't know how long it's going to be staying on streaming. You just don't. Austie writes, The Hunt and Barbie. Daniel writes, The Holdovers, finally. Pamela writes, Killers of the Flower Moon, Leonardo's best film. Robert Muggy writes, Autumn Afternoon, The Flavor of Green Tea Over Rice, Killers of the Flower Moon, It's Complicated, Saltburn, Pandora and the Flying Dutchman, and Mississippi Blues. Andra writes, Good Grief. Heather writes, Anytime the snow starts, it's a perfect excuse to revisit Pontypool. And then writes, Come on, guys, it's literally just posted on YouTube for super free. Not regular free, super free. Nicole writes, Late to the Party, but Barbie. Bill writes, Maestro, Clue, and Asteroid City. And finally, Kathy writes, Going to see Queen live in Montreal tonight. Not a film, not a concert film. Thanks for sharing. But also, you haven't done it yet. Write to me when you've done it. So there you go. Wow. That's kind of a paper bag right there. And that's what you've been watching this week, folks. So hopefully you got to watch some good films that are new, or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. Friends, some words to live by.
Silent Breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. There's plenty out there. Hopefully this weekend, Criterion just put out John Sayles' Lone Star, so I'm hoping to watch that. Maybe get into the Criterion treatment on Mean Streets as well, if I need a break from the never-ending pile of films that I need to catch up on, and I will hopefully be this week. So anyway, we'll do this again. Stay warm, stay cool, stay hot, and stay warm, and be safe. And thanks for listening, and we'll do this again next week. Thank you for listening. And you're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan. Thanks, Cindy.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
No. We'll do it live!